Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We have come to the final verses of the first chapter of the book of Malachi, which are, in many ways, a summary of what has gone before. You recall, no doubt, that the book of Malachi is a series of charges by God against His people Israel, spoken through the mouth of His prophet Malachi. Malachi, who turns out to be the last prophet before the New Testament, before the coming of John the Baptist. It's like God is giving them one more opportunity. How many prophets has He sent before? How many ways has He spoken to His people over the centuries? How little attention have they paid to His word? God sends one final prophet, Malachi, to point out the problems, to give them an opportunity to acknowledge their sin, to confess it, to repent of it, to forsake it, to change, and instead they resist the truth of God that comes to them through the prophet Malachi, just like they have many other prophets before them. But what God gives to them, which wasn't very successful as far as the measured response is concerned, is also very helpful to us, because human nature hasn't changed. And we are prone to do exactly the same things that the people of God in Malachi's day were doing. And so when we see what God was charging them with, perhaps by the help of the Spirit of God, we will see our own weaknesses and failures, and even if they didn't repent, perhaps we shall. That would be the reason, no doubt, why God included the book of Malachi in the Bible. So thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, October 1, and many thanks for the financial gifts that enable us to teach God's Word on this station. We're looking at verses 12 and 13 and 14 if we get to it, but primarily verses 12 and 13, but you can't really start with verse 12 without backing up to verse 11. And verse 11 is where God says, "You won't honor me, but I will have honor. I will have honor among the Gentiles. They will honor my name." That's verse 11. And then verse 12 says, "But you profane it." That is my name. "You profane it, in that you say, 'The table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible.' You also say, 'Oh, what a weariness,' and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord?" All right, what was the problem? Well, it was both wrong attitudes and wrong actions. And wrong actions grow out of wrong attitudes. And if we would recognize wrong attitudes and deal with the problem at that level, then we can, as Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud before our wrong attitudes become wrong actions. But if we won't recognize improper attitudes toward God and toward His Word, then inevitably wrong actions, that is disobedience, that is sin, is going to result. Now, what were the wrong attitudes? You may recall, number one, they were critical. Number two, they were cynical. Number three, they were disengaged. Number one, they were critical of the worship that which God had prescribed. The table of the Lord is defiled, they said in verse 12. Number two, they were cynical. They said its food is contemptible. It has no value, no appeal. It accomplishes nothing, and it does not interest me. They were cynical about the worship which God had described. And number three, they were disengaged. You also say, oh, what a weariness. The worship of God is irksome. It's boring. It doesn't attract my interest. It doesn't hold my attention. And so they were disengaged. That was their wrong, those were their wrong attitudes. What were their wrong actions? Actions, as we know, grow out of attitudes. Attitudes and actions are related. And wrong attitudes precede wrong actions, and wrong actions reveal wrong attitudes. And disobedience, violating a command of God, an instruction of God, betrays wrong attitudes that come from the heart. All right, what were their wrong actions? Well, they were, number one, unsanctified tongues, and we'll go back and look at these one by one. Number two, unguarded gestures. And number three, open disobedience. First of all, unsanctified tongues. They were speaking disparagingly to others. Verse 12 again, but you profane it, God's name, rather than honor it, but you profane it, and then this, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. Now listen, you've got to think about this one to understand it. In that you say, and then you find in verse 13, you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, by their speech, they were openly dishonoring God and adversely influencing others as well. We seem to have the opinion that we are perfectly within our rights to say whatever we want to say whatever we think. In fact, some people seem to have the attitude that they ought to say whatever they think. They're obligated to say whatever they think. That other people are required to hear whatever they think and want to say. There are some people who apparently take the position, I'm not guarding my tongue. I'm not being careful about what I say. I'm not supposed to do that. I am so important, that's what they're really saying, that's a pride matter. I'm so important that whatever I have to say is a very important matter and people need to hear it. And so they go spreading gossip and slander and misinformation and wrong attitudes to other people. It's not enough that they harbor these themselves, but by their uncontrolled tongue, they affect other people too. Unsanctified tongues is the first wrong action that we see here. They would not control their tongues. They would not guard their tongues. They would not refrain from speaking things that could be detrimental to others, that were dishonoring to God, and if they weren't sure, then they ought to at least have been willing to not say what they were thinking until they were sure that this was truly a way of honoring God and not dishonoring Him. But that made no difference to them, because they have the right to say what they think, which is a very prideful attitude that leads to very sinful actions, and the uncontrolled tongue is one of our biggest areas of sinfulness, of sinful behavior. Far from being innocent, it is exceedingly sinful. Far from being innocent, it is exceedingly destructive. You need to read carefully James chapter 3 about the power of the tongue. What a great matter a little tongue, a little fire kindles. And James there tells us that we need to learn to control our tongue. We learn how to control animals, we learn how to bridle horses, but somehow we can't seem to learn how to bridle our tongue. And when we don't learn how to bridle our tongue, then our tongue becomes a very destructive force. Now listen to me. There's nobody that's hearing this broadcast that doesn't have a problem with your tongue. Some, hopefully, not a big problem. Hopefully, many of you are mature, godly Christians who have, for the most part, sanctified tongues. You've learned how to control them. You've learned how to use them to bless and not to tear down, to encourage and not to discourage, to honor God and not dishonor Him. But even the most sanctified among us will occasionally say things that we ought not to say. Every one of us are guilty of this. And if you don't think you are, then you are more guilty of it than you realize. The first step to correcting this problem is acknowledging that there is a problem. Unsanctified tongues. That was what was going on in Malachi's day. In that you say, verse 12, you also say, verse 13, and what is recorded that they say is, well, it is speech that ought not to have been articulated, but it was. So unsanctified tongues is the first wrong action. Unguarded gestures. What's that about? Negative body language. You sneer at it. You blow. You snort. You puff. What are we talking about here? Well, back to verse 12. But you profane my name, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And here we go, verse 13. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. You sneer at it. He's talking about unguarded gestures. He's talking about negative body language. Your wrong attitudes have resulted in wrong actions, and your first wrong action is an unsanctified tongue. You are saying things you ought not to say. Your second wrong action are your unguarded gestures. Just the way you roll your eyes, just the way you let your breath out between your lips when someone says something that you're not pleased with, and you sneer at it in some way to let them know that you're not pleased. And so rolling eyes and sneering lips and disrespectful gestures are part of the problem. These are wrong actions. And again, we tend to put this in the category of inconsequential little things. Hey, come on now. Don't be so nitpicky. If we're going to talk about sins, let's talk about real sins. Let's talk about stealing. Let's talk about adultery. Let's talk about something that's serious and consequential. Let's not talk about little things like our gestures and our facial expressions. That's exactly what God is talking about. Like I say, we need to learn to nip it in the bud. Get a handle on it when it's little before it grows into something much larger. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.